Hello and welcome to a very special episode of The Laydown. I'm Ryan and I'm so hyped about this episode with Carissa Orlando, where we chat about her debut horror novel, The September House. I cannot stop thinking about this book. This is so much more than a haunted house book. You'll hear me gush all about it. I seriously love this book. It's one of my favorites of the year. Before we jump into the interview, I do want to promote a couple of events that are happening in the bookstore that you guys need to know about. On Friday, September 29th, Clay McLeod Chapman and Chuck Wendig will be in conversation at 7 p.m. in the bookstore talking about their new novels, both of which are out this month. What Kind of Mother by Clay McLeod Chapman and Black River Orchard by Chuck Wendig. There's going to be an heirloom apple tasting. I think Clay might be learning how to do palm readings. You really, really don't want to miss this event. So please, please come. That is September 29th at 7 p.m. Then in October, we also have a couple of other cool horror events. So on Sunday, October 15th at 2 p.m., Matt Kirkland will be here promoting Dracula Daily. So you've heard us talk before about Dracula Daily. That's the thing where you're emailed the text of Dracula in these little bite-sized chunks on the corresponding date from the novel, because Dracula is an epistolary novel. They're coming out with a book version that has the novel in chronological order and features commentary from the internet. There are memes and jokes, and it is really, really cool. We're really excited. And so, Matt Kirkland is going to be here on Sunday, October 15th at 2 p.m. Please come. We're super stoked about that one. And then, at the end of October, on the 26th, please join us at 6:30 p.m. for a queer horror panel featuring four queer local horror authors. I really want to have an annual horror panel in the store, and this is the inaugural one. So please come so that I can prove to my boss and also my events coordinator that this is absolutely something that should be an annual thing and that people will come out to a horror panel. So, yes, please come. That is Thursday, October 26th at 6:30 p.m. It's going to be a really good time. Okay, thank you for letting me do that little diversion into our upcoming events calendar. You can see the rest of the events at gibsonsbookstore.com/event or, you know, just scroll through our social media. Okay, back to the intro. So heads up, Zoom was being a little bit finicky during this recording, so if the audio sounds a little bit choppy a few times, don't worry. The vast majority of this episode is perfectly fine. The most egregious moment of the audio cutting out happens right at the beginning where Carissa is describing the book. So to fill in the missing piece, the main characters, Margaret and Hal, have purchased their dream home, but it turns out to be incredibly haunted. There, that's all you missed. Okay, carry on and enjoy this interview, and please go snag a copy of The September House from Gibson's. You will not regret it. It's so good. Hi, Carissa Orlando. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I am so great. I'm so excited to be chatting with you today about The September House. Oh my God, this book.
Thank you.
So this is going to go up probably either on Pub Day or right around Pub Day. So, cool. For the listeners who, you know, won't have read it yet, give us the pitch. Tell us about this book.
Yeah. So this is a book about, well, Margaret Hartman, our protagonist. She and her husband, Hal, have bought their, turns out to be just the most haunted house you could ever imagine. But Margaret is not going anywhere. So she figures out a way to make this incredibly haunted house work through a series of rules. And we join her 4 years into it. Like, she has figured this out. Her husband, Hal, on the other hand, is a little bit less on board with the figuring it out. And he decides he's kind of done with it. Mm-hmm. And their adult daughter, Catherine, shows up to see what's going on with her dad. Where is he run off to? And Catherine does not know how haunted the house is. So Margaret has to kind of keep this away from Catherine while still making things work in the house. Everything gets way worse in the house in September. And of course, that's when Catherine chooses to visit. So that's where we join them.
I absolutely adored this book. I
Thank
knew
you.
I was gonna love it when I got to the first sentence of chapter one, where it's just the walls of the house were bleeding again. And I was like, oh, I'm yes, this tone, this vibe is perfect. But what I love even more, and I'm just gonna gush for a second because I genuinely don't remember the last time any book made me feel the vast roller coaster of emotions that this book made me feel. At one point I'm laughing out loud at Margaret and her ability to adapt to things in this house. And a few pages later, I'm crying and my heart is breaking. And then a few pages after that, I'm literally sitting in my kitchen frozen with fear because not just of what's happening on the page, but what I think might be about to happen. And I'm just like so scared to keep reading. And like listeners of this podcast know that I am very difficult to scare. Like I am the horror person. Like it's hard to
Oh
get that
goodness,
reaction out of
that's
me.
me too.
Yeah, and I was so tense during certain parts of this. So yeah, this book, oh my God. Like when I say this is a masterpiece of a book, I truly mean it. Like this is a masterpiece.
It's weird to think of it as such, but I genuinely appreciate
Yeah,
that.
I am so excited for this to be out in the world so that I can hands out. We have an amazing horror community here in Concord, and I off the top of my head can think of so many customers that I'm going to be like, no, you need this one. Like I'm so excited to hand sell this one. So yeah, just I love this book. So now that I've gotten that out of the way, we can actually get into like some of my questions. So I was at an event recently, and Kat Ward was there, who, wrote Last House on Needless Street and Sundial and all of these books that deal with the horrors of humanity, right? And she said something to the effect of humans can normalize anything. And the next day I read this book. I was well, look at that. Because this book is completely that, right? It is humans being able to adapt to anything. And horror is such a good vehicle for grappling with those kind of horrors of humanity. I know that you have a doctorate in clinical community psychology, and you specialize in work with children and adolescents. And I'm curious if you could talk about how you kind of wove together the things that you work with and do day to day and horror and your love of horror into this incredible book.
Oh my goodness, that's kind of a big that's kind of a big question.
Starting off real easy.
I mean, I think that kind of horror, and I don't want to say mental health difficulties. Yeah, I'm not going to say mental health difficulties because I think that so much of what we consider mental health difficulties with bunny rabbit ears is so it's situational and context dependent. And I think that that's a lot of what horror is as well, is it is people having a reaction to a horrific situation. And so where someone might, like in this haunted house context, develop an anxiety disorder or something like that, if they're just perpetually living in this fear. But Margaret has done what a lot of people do, which is they are in a situation that is genuinely horrific and they find a way to adapt to it. Like Margaret is very rarely scared about her situation. She is calm. She's found a way to make it work. It's only kind of from an outsider's perspective that you say, "Well, wait a minute. I'm not sure this works. It sounds like you're doing a lot and you're giving up quite a lot of your happiness just to survive in this house. Like, how is this worth it?" And I think that that's where the two kind of marry together quite well of what do we sacrifice for our situation or our context that may be out of our control. And is that necessary? Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Yeah, I know Margaret and her ability to adapt to not just the haunted house, but other aspects of her life,
Avoiding
is
spoilers.
avoiding spoilers is it is something that, yeah, I have seen humanity's capability of doing exactly that and creating rules. And if I follow these rules, everything will be fine. And if you don't follow the rules, that's oops, things are gonna happen. And kind of like shifting your brain to be like, yeah, this is normal. You just follow the rules and it'll be fine. And it's like, that's not normal. You don't have to do that. Yeah, I just, oh, Margaret, she is both so funny and incredible, and also like she just breaks my heart. Just, oh, Margaret, I love her.
She kind of contains multitudes. She is very hearty, kind of very strong, but the way she views the world and her situation and what truly and what she deserves is very, very off. Yeah. And the things she is willing to do to maintain the status quo are questionable. Unhealthy, we'll say unhealthy,
Unhealthy.
unhelpful.
Yes, we'll go with unhealthy. I do kind of bouncing off of Margaret. There is delicious humor sprinkled throughout this novel in the just the setup. Like, you've done the thing that I absolutely love in that you've taken a classic trope and you've flipped it on its head and made it totally fresh and delightful. In that, we've got the haunted house trope, but it's not the, oh gosh, we've moved in and we're discovering that it's haunted. It's like we're starting kind of where most of the books would end, and we're like, yeah, the house, yeah, the walls bleed in September, and then the screaming starts, and yeah, it's the ghosts appear, but they're like mostly harmless. Elias bites, but we don't worry. We just stay with, away from his teeth.
Get
And
him
I
personal
just,
space.
and I just want to know, like, what was that process like of infusing this with the humor, and like, how did you strike that balance between the humor and the horror?
Yeah, that is an excellent question. I have a very dark sense of humor. The people who have read this, like my spouse, my family members who know me, are like, yeah, we see your humor throughout this. Obviously, this is stuff that you would find funny. My son, actually, like, I see your humor. I don't know if other people are gonna see this humor, so I'll be happy if some of them do. But I don't know. I truly the book kind of spawned from literally the central gimmick that you just described of like we've seen countless stories that, and movies of the family moves in, it's a deal too good to be true. Oh no, it's haunted. Now they leave or kind of or the house gets them or something like that. And so we've seen that countless times now. Thought that it would be genuinely hilarious if there was just the most haunted house that anyone has ever seen, and the person living in it was just cool with it. Like they were just coexisting with these horrors. And I found that just endlessly amusing. And that's kind of what it all spawned from. So truly, it was born of something that I just found hilarious, and more serious issues just managed to work their way in as opposed to the other way around.
I love that. I love that that's where the seed was. Because yeah, and I've like made the joke before that like, yeah, as a millennial, if the house is haunted, that probably means it's cheap, right? So like I could probably befriend a ghost. Like
Yeah, I was okay. So a couple months ago, my spouse Cameron and I actually bought a house. And it's our first house, so we're going through that whole process. And we moved into the house, and the previous tenants left us like a sizable crucifix
Oh my
kind of
God.
hidden in one of the drawers, and we're looking at it like, is this a gesture of goodwill, or is this like, don't disturb the crucifix, it's there for a reason? And we're like, we're just gonna, don't touch it. Like, it's just on top of our fridge. And I truly had that moment where I was like, if it turns out this house is haunted, we're gonna make it work, because this was a process.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah,
Yep.
my my I always tell people we my husband and I bought our house from sort of a cult kind of yeah, you know it,
Oh man, we're
yeah
gonna see you on the news.
yeah it was real cheap though, tell you what. But yeah,
Oh
no, when we toured the house, because it was basically, without getting too deep into it, was this like subset of Christianity that formed this church kind of at the top of this mountain, and our house is at the base of the mountain. They had bought up all these properties because they were originally based down south. They moved up to New Hampshire for reasons. And then they were selling off all the properties because the like leader of the religion had died suddenly. And a few of them have died since then. It's probably fine. And when we toured the house, there was a literal shrine to the original leader of this religion, like at the base of one of our staircases, like pictures and
Oh,
candles
that's
and crosses, like
incredible.
yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
And we just and like weird things have happened like around, but my husband's very into like feng shui and like Reiki and things like that, and he's like, we're good, like the how we studied the
Yeah.
house, like we're good, we're
We're gonna
fine,
make it work.
we're gonna make it
Yeah.
work, we're gonna
We
make it
can counteract this. Oh
work.
my goodness, that would have been a true like shut up and take my money situation for me. I was like, we're
Literally.
buying.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Yep. I was like, listen, this house is cheaper than any others that
Yep.
we've looked at, and it's gorgeous and it's on a mountain. We're doing
Yeah,
it.
yeah.
And they've all been, very nice. They haven't tried to recruit us to their little religion. Like they leave us alone.
Oh, that's
It's fine. It's fine. We're doing it. We're living it.
good. Oh, that's so funny. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I like this premise is I'm just like, yeah, I would be Margaret in this scenario. I'd be like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll take some tea. Like
Genuinely, I think more of us would be Margaret than we think.
yeah, I think
Because, like,
so.
I want to think that we're going to be the smart, survival. Well, I mean, Margaret is survival oriented. She uses a different definition of that. But I think we can all look back to a time in our past when we were in a red flag warning situation, and we're like, this is,
This is
humans are
fine.
more prone to adapt than to like fight back and abscond.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially n almost more so now. There are so many like introverts and people who are just like, I would rather not inconvenience anyone. I will simply just put up with this and adapt. It's like, yeah. Relatable. Thinking about th this book has so many incredible characters, both alive and otherwise. Aside from Margaret, who obviously we love, was there a favorite character of yours to write?
Catherine was fun. I really liked Catherine, Margaret's daughter, simply because she's complicated, but all of her complications show up as anger. And so it's very fun to write a character that's just angry all the time. Like whatever reaction she has to something is going to be with anger and impatience or saying. And that was fun to write. I appreciated writing her. I think I also really liked Frederica, particularly as, I don't think this is too spoilery, but as September progresses, Frederica, who's kind of, she's kind of like the house lady. She cleans stuff up, but she becomes progressively more unhelpful as September gets, and she's just chaotic and hiding stuff and just showing up in a room with a lamp and just dropping it and leaving it. That was just so funny for me to write, just this genuinely just benign but incredibly unhelpful character.
I adore Frederica so much. Like, there are so many moments where she's like, she seems like she's about to be incredibly helpful and then just like drops a painting on the floor or just like puts some tea bags in the bathtub. Moves a couch from like the third floor down to the living room. And you're just like, Frederica, what are you doing, girly? I
My
love
favorite of
her.
hers is turning all the burners on high and then leaving
Yes.
the
Amazing.
I love her.
Amazing. Oh God, she's so funny. Yeah, I love all of the different ghosts that show up throughout September. And I did wonder, like, how much fun was it coming up with the little quirks that they all have? Like, was there a favorite of yours that you were like, oh, that's amazing. I'm writing that in.
I mean, truly, because I was just trying to toss every haunted house thing into this house or book. They were all kind of fun. Like I knew bleeding walls and screaming and ghost that bites. I think Elias, the ghost that bites, was a pretty early on thing where he's just hovering, and just if you get too close, he bites you. Like I loved that. The birds,
Oh,
sadly.
birds.
The birds that crash into the house were fun. Not the birds themselves, but the fact that their corpses up and periodically Margaret just has to deal with it. I enjoyed that. That's also just my humor of her just having to deal with the mundane task of bird corpse cleanup and knowing that she has to do it relatively quickly or else the bugs get them and it makes it a worse, a much worse task.
And the fact that they're having that bonfire, and of course it smells good because it's birds being cooked, and that Frederick is like, how about some roast chicken? That sounds
Yeah,
great, actually. God,
she's
that
just
was
tossing
funny.
these bird corpses and like, I'm starving.
Oh, that was so funny. I just, yeah, this had this book just had me. I was just every emotion, but like that first like huge chunk of it is just so funny. Right before it takes a turn into like the heartbreaking and terror, and I was like, oh my God.
Takes a turn.
Oh,
It's
it does,
all
but in
good.
the best way. I kept thinking to myself that if there is a soundtrack for this book, the title track has to be Wake Me Up When September Ends.
Oh yeah. That is perfect.
It's September, not October. Like, I love that you went with September, not the like cliche spooky month. I think that's great because it's like, yeah, September is like fall's coming and the walls are bleeding. It's fine.
It's not the obvious spooky month. It's not the dead of winter, but it's like that September is kind of a transition period. And so it kind of heralds the cycle starting. And so that, yeah, it worked out.
That was perfect. And I love there's a line early on where she's just like, yeah, September is kind of always right around the corner. And I was like, that's true. It's always just right around the corner.
It sure is.
Ah, I love it. What do you hope that readers will take away from this novel when they read it?
Oh, wow. Oh, God. That's a hard question because it's so, I'm still wrapping my mind around the fact that people are going to read it or have read it. Mostly just that was like the only goal I had for a very long time. I was like, I just want people to put their eyeballs on this book. That was almost like a stretch goal. Thank gosh, if I want readers to get something out of it. I'm gonna try and answer this question without being very spoilery. I got kind of asked the question a lot by like folks who are reading this and editing, like, why did Margaret stay? Why didn't she just leave this house? And because her staying in the house and her staying in other situations are kind of meant to be the same thing, I would get a little testy about that question because I'd say, well, what you're actually asking me is why do women stay in not that awesome interpersonal situations? And I hate that question. Please don't ask that question because the answer to that question is a monologue, not a simple, it's not as simple as just pack up and go. For a lot of reasons, le least of all, that could be incredibly dangerous. And so I hope that people read this book and stop asking that question.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it is not just metaphorical in this. Like I feel like it is quite clear reading this that there's always more to it, and you can't just leave the haunted house per se. And in fact, Margaret has there's something that is keeping her from physically leaving this house at times. It is quite dangerous for her to leave this house, actually. I agree. I also hate that question. And so yes, I also hope that this kind of opens people's eyes to, oh, maybe things are more complicated than I just assume. So yeah. Good answer. And kind of as we wrap up, is there anything that you've read recently that you would like to shout out?
I just read Grady Hendrix's Final Girl Support
Oh,
Group,
love
which
Grady.
was a wonderful book. That was one is like I was starting with this people like, have you read Grady Hendrix? And I'm like, no, I want to because everything that I saw, I'm just like, man, that looks like it was written for me personally. And this was another one I was reading. I'm like, I feel like this has been written for me personally. And that was a book that I ended it, finished the final sentence, and I was just like, he stuck that landing. Phenomenal ending.
Yep, 100%.
That was some good stuff.
I adore Grady. He's been on the podcast a few times, and
Awesome.
I got to introduce him at a conference last year for How to Sell a Haunted House, which I have now read four times, and I often do not get to reread things, and I can't stop rereading that book. He is absolutely in, I would say Grady Hendrix is very much kin to the September House with that like bits of humor, but also grappling with like real human things.
I can see that he's I need to get into his other stuff too. He's also, I believe, a fellow South Carolinian. So I feel
He's
that
one of them.
kindred spirit.
I love that. Amazing. Well, Carissa, oh my goodness gracious, this book. I am so happy for you. I'm so excited to hand sell this when it's finally out. This book's amazing.
I'm very fond, but I'm very biased.
I can't wait for this to come out. I can't wait to see what you do next. No pressure. I'm just
No
no
pressure.
pressure. It's fine. But yeah, Thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me today. And
Oh, thank you for having me. This was awesome.
absolutely, anytime.
Yes,
And
good luck in your
congratulations.
cult house.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be fun.
It'll be fine.
Awesome. Carissa, have a wonderful day and good luck
Thank
with your
you.
pub day and all of that fun
Thank
stuff
you.
coming up. You've got
It'll be fine.
this. Bye. Huge thanks again to Carissa Orlando for joining me on the podcast. The September House is available now from Gibson's Bookstore, and it's my staff pick of the month, so you should all absolutely snag it from us this month. There are an insane amount of incredible horror novels coming out this month. It was honestly really hard to pick just one as my entry into our Bookseller of the Month hand selling contest, especially because Rachel Harrison has a book out this month, but I think I'm going to have her be my October pick. So don't worry, Rachel. I'm still picking you. Just later. So yeah, September House, it's available now. It's amazing, guys. You know that I don't blow smoke. So when I say that this book is a masterpiece in horror, I really, really mean it. This book is phenomenal, and please everyone go read it so that I can have less vague conversations about it, okay? You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Make sure you're following us on your favorite social media platforms. We're on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and X, but maybe not for much longer because Twitter is dead and X is not great. But in the meantime, all of those links will be in the show notes along with this episode's shoppable list, which you can also find at gibsonsbookstore.com/laydown-books. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the bookstore. Bye!